to the epistle written possibly by the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews. Chapter 9 in the Hebrew epistle. I would like to read the closing verses of this chapter, beginning at verse 23, whereby the Spirit of God, the beloved apostle, has written, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year, with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end, not the end of the world that hasn't come yet, properly rendered in the end of the ages, the Old Testament ages, Christ hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." May God bless the reading of this precious portion from his word. And may I emphasize at the very commencement of our meditation upon it, who is the person and what is he done of whom the apostle writes? Christ himself. Of all the ministry that is going on in the world today, throughout the whole world, by our fellow believers who are serving the Lord, whether in the foreign field or whether in the homeland, the responsibility of each missionary and of each servant of God and child of God is to present Christ to the hearts of mankind. The great theme of the gospel is a person. And that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. The portion that we have read from this beautiful book of the Hebrews is very important. It speaks of Christ and three definite appearings of him. Never at the same time, but three separate occasions. As we have read them, I hope you notice the word appear. May I emphasize it again? Verse 24, if you please, if you have your Bible. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures or the types of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Notice it in verse 26. But now once in the end of the ages hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And in the last verse, at the end of it, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, for he's coming back, without sin unto salvation. The three appearings of Christ. My beloved, may I re-emphasize again, as there already has been brought before us, the great necessity of the gospel, the presentation of Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what he will yet do. It's a great theme. Please note, first of all, I don't know how well you may be acquainted with the Old Testament, but what we have read has been taken as a pattern from the Old Testament experience. of the high priest in the days of Israel. There was an occasion which you may read in the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, which called in the nation of Israel the National Day of Atonement, when once a year God forgave the sins of the nation. And there was a threefold appearance of the high priest on that particular day. First to the altar, as he sacrificed the victim that represented the offering for the nation. Second, he carried the blood of that victim into the holiest of all. And he alone was permitted to enter that holiest of all. And that but once a year, on behalf of the sins of the nation. From the holiest of all, he made his way after thus presenting the offering in the presence of God, back again to the gate where the people were gathered outside, and pronounced the work was done, and proclaimed forgiveness for the nation as a whole for one more year. It was a national, yearly occurrence. And oh, it so typifies what our Lord Jesus has done. Note first of all, as we have it in verse 24, I want you to note the first appearance that is mentioned by the Holy Spirit on this occasion. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Not into an earthly temple. Not into an earthly sanctuary. Which are the figures of the true. But into heaven itself. My beloved, may I emphasize which the Spirit of God does, and particularly in this book of the Hebrews. Christ is not on the earth. He is in heaven. As from the scripture that was read in Acts chapter 1, we know that he ascended into heaven. And there he is. My beloved fellow believer, let me say to you and to me, how often do you think of him in heaven? You have it in the Holy Epistle of the Hebrews, beginning in chapter 1, going on into chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and all the way through, emphasizing our Lord Jesus is alive in heaven. And note the words that the apostle writes at the end of this verse. Now! The moment I am speaking, he appears in heaven, and note, in the presence of God. For whom? Us. Who are the people that he appears before the face of God on their behalf? My fellow believer, those who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, my fellow believer, how much do you and I value the fact? He appears in heaven on our behalf. Do you need him there? You know you do. And so do I. Let me briefly quote the words from chapter 7 and verse 24. Where that blessed one is spoken as the high priest of his people today. And note again, not in a temple on the earth, he represents his people in heaven above, at the throne of God, and before the face of God. My fellow believer, he represents you and he represents me right there, constantly. And as chapter 7 verse 24 declares, he ever liveth to make intercession. For whom? us. Who are the us? Only those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Our brother emphasized the need of prayer for certain individual missionaries and persons. My beloved, let me say this. The blessed Lord Jesus is praying day and night in heaven above for every believer. And that means you if you're saved. And it doesn't mean you if you're not saved. He is only the high priest and the great high priest in heaven for those who is. What's he doing there? Well, let me quote again. He ever liveth to make intercession. Let me say this. He never sleeps. Day and night. And let me re-emphasize this truth. I need it. He's praying for you, believer. He's praying for me. Precious it is as we are encouraged and exhorted to pray for one another and for all saints. But here's our great high priest. Let me remind you of chapter 4 of the book of the Hebrews, where at the end of it, from verse 14 through 16, you may read that he passed into the heavens and became our great high priest. And we are encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May I say this, my fellow believer, and I say it humbly, and I say it reverently. The best one who can help you in your need down here on the earth is the one in heaven. Thank God for those who pray for us down here. And I bless God for those who pray for me. But my Savior never fails to pray. Why? He's touched. He sympathizes with all we go through down here. Now, what are you going through? What have you been going through as a believer in the Lord Jesus? He feels it more than you do, and more than I do. And prays for me. Aren't you glad he's there? I want to tell you something. Confidently, I believe the fact. If it wasn't for his prayers, we'd never make it. Thank God for the prayers of fellow believers. Praise God greater for the unceasing prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the subject of the book of Hebrews. Have you ever studied it? All the way through, may I remind you, there's one word you can repeat again and again, and it is repeated. Better, 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 better than the angels is he. Better than Moses is he. Better than Joshua is he. Better than Aaron. Better than... Name everything through the whole book as it's presented. He's better. Why was it ever written? Let me tell you very frankly. When the letter was written to the Hebrews, it was written to make the Jews Christians instead of Judaizers. God wanted them to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, that great joy of reading as we do. That great high priest in heaven above has you and me upon his heart. Let me illustrate it, please. Have you ever read the Old Testament? And the priest, the high priest of this nation, when he was clothed in the divine provision of the clothing that God ordered to be used, he had upon him as he entered into the holiest and into the tabernacle or into the temple, those holy garments. And upon him was the ephod, the breastplate of judgment as it was sometimes called. And upon the breastplate there were 12 stones, wonderful jewels. And upon each one of them inscribe a name of each tribe of Israel upon his shoulders. He had two stones there, one on each side. On each stone was written six names of the tribes of Israel and six names on the other. Why? He represented in the presence of God all the people of God in the nation of Israel. My beloved, may I paraphrase that? By applying it to the Lord Jesus today. And listen carefully. How many people does he have? How many believers? How many upon the earth today? He knows. But let me say this. Every one of them is on his own. Every one of them is on the shoulders of his eternal strength. My beloved fellow believer, did you ever realize how much he prays for you? Maybe you forget to pray for your son. And that's possible. He never does. And whatever you may go through, he feels. One well made the statement, and I quote it. There's not a sorrow that rends the heart, but what the man of sorrows has a thought. May I repeat it again? Please look at the verse at the end of it. He appears in heaven itself now to appear in the presence or before the face of God. For hope. Fellow believer, that's you. So go down the chapter, please. As we go to verse 25, as we read on, verse 26, let me begin there. As it has been suggested, the high priest had to go once every year and make an atonement for the nation of Israel. But not Christ, or then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But as the apostle says, now in the end of the ages, what ages? All the preceding. Hath he appeared? And why did he come to the earth? Read the words. To put away sin. By the sacrifice of his son. Can I make a statement? You may criticize me for it. But I dare you to find a place in the New Testament where we are told to celebrate his birthday. But we are told to celebrate his death at the Lord's Supper. Why? What he did on the earth? Why did he come? To put away sin. Beloved, thank God for his first appearing on the earth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save whom? Sinners. Let me ask the question. Has he saved you? For I know you're a sinner. Don't tell me you are not. For if you told me that, you'd be sinning. I am a sinner. By nature, by practice. And may I say very frankly, the only ones that he saves are those who confess, I am a sinner. Let me give you the illustration the Lord gave when he was upon the earth. Two men went into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee prayed much. 33 words, if I recall. And he prayed more about telling the Lord how good he was. And that he was not like the publican over there in the other part of the temple. But the publican would not lift up his eyes to heaven, smote his breast, and confessed Lord God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, he went away saved, justified rather than the other. Let me give you the thought. At the hour of prayer, when they were both in the temple, the sacrifice, the evening sacrifice of the burnt offering was being getting ready by the priest. And it was visible before their eyes. But the Pharisee said, I don't need that. The publican said, I'm a sinner, I do need that. And as you have in this verse, the Lord Jesus appeared at his first coming to put away your sins. By the sacrifice of himself. My beloved, did you ever realize who it was who died on that cross for you? None other than the Son of God. You have it here. At the end of the ages when men failed, from Adam down to the end, he came to put away, to take them away, our sins. Can I ask you, has he taken your sins away? Oh, the joy of remembering that day, that moment, and there's a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. I came to the Lord Jesus, confessing, I do believe, I now believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. What an appearance. Please let me say again, as we have already read in our scripture, he'll never do it again. He doesn't have to do it again. I hope you remember the closing words that he ever breathed and uttered and shouted in Vicksburg. As you read it in John chapter 19 and verse 30. With a loud voice the Lord Jesus cried, it is finished! What did the poet write? It is finished every jot. Tell me, sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? You can never take away your sin. No one else can either. But the only one who died on the cross. Aren't you glad he came? As a believer, I'm so glad he's in heaven representing me and praying for me. My great high priest. And as a believer, oh, may I say again how grateful I am. I know I'm only a sinner saved by grace. This is all my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. To put away sin. And he not only puts away the sins of those who believe on him, but may I make the remark as I read my Bible to the end of it. There's coming a day when God will banish sin out of his universe forever. Sin! And those who believe not on the Lord Jesus will be cast into the lake of fire. According to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Someday, heaven and earth will be cleansed. Please may I remind you, from the book of Job, it says the heavens are not clean in his sight. And I want to tell you there's a fellow up there by the name of Satan, the dragon, the devil, Satan, the serpent as he's called, and all of his hosts, they're in the heavenlies. And they have defiled the heavens by their sinful rebellion against God. When he comes, he's going to take care of them. And ultimately, thank God, there'll be no more. We'll read Revelation chapter 21. There'll be no more sin, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no death, no crying, the former things. Why? Why will they all pass? All because of that sacrifice on the cross. But let me ask the question. Very important. Have your sins been put away? As our brother quoted in his prayer, giving thanks to God. Then when he forgives our sins, he puts them out of his mind. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And you've got into the book of Hebrews. And though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and worthy of the judgment, death and judgment, the death of Christ removes the judgment and the eternal danger. You know, it's great to be saved. I'm glad he appeared to put away sin for me. Again, let me ask before going further, has he taken your sins away? We used to sing an old hymn with a chorus that says, he took my sins away and made me rejoicing every day when he took my sins away. I don't want to tell you, if you've never had your sins away, you'll have the best happy year you ever had if you let him do it today. And let me remind you faithfully, if you're not saved, you've got sins that need to be confessed to the Lord and have him take them away. But that's not all. It's coming again. Look the last verse in the chapter. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men. Now you know that word many. Why does he say many? Everybody doesn't believe on him. Unfortunately. Let me ask you the question. How many Christians do you really know that have been born again? Genuinely born again? If I remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he makes it very clear. The straight way, then the narrow way, there's only a few that find it. Few there be that enter therein, said the Lord Jesus. But broad is the road that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go that way. Now, which way are you on? Thank God I got on the narrow way in 1914. Thank God I've been on that narrow way ever since. I'd rather be on the narrow way with a few. Tell me, I don't have a big audience here. As many may have. That doesn't matter. I'm so glad for those who are on the same way with me. And if any are not, why don't you come to the Lord Jesus and receive him as your Savior? But we read these words, and know carefully, that Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and, not to everybody, but unto them that look for him. Are you looking for him to come again? I don't know whether you ever had the experience, but I often have said to my blessed Lord, and may he forgive, and I know he forgives me for saying it so much. Lord, why didn't you come today? Why didn't you come last night? What? Now this verse has to do with those that know him. For them to look for him. Oh, you may be looking forward to a beautiful year in 1997. Let me emphasize, I'd rather be looking for him to come. And you know, It almost seems to me as though he's overdue. As this world becomes worse and worse, as even one of our brethren that spoke to us in the early part of the service mentioned the things that are happening in the world. The troubles, the suffering, the persecution, the violence, the bloodshed. I want to tell you, every time the morning news comes to my house, I hate to look at the front page. That's a fact. The first thing I see is a murder. Or something of that kind. I want to tell you, the media is very capable of spreading the bad news. One dear brother told me that my son told me up in Charlotte, they call the Charlotte Observer the Charlotte Disturber. And one dear brother in the Lord was so depressed by reading the news in the newspaper, he canceled it. It depressed him. Look! Listen, Christian. We look for him to come! Praise him. Oh, do I need to remind you what he said? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.